And welcome to season 3 of the Atlanta Opera's Blink Opera podcast. I'm director Daisy Evans, and I'm excited to bring a new version of Bluebeard's Castle to Atlanta this October. Joining me today is music director and arranger Stephen Higgins, and we're thrilled to be your host for this week's episode.
Today, we'll take you through our concept and the story of our adaptation, first performed at the Stone Nest in London in November 2021 for our company, Theatre of Sound.
Bluebeard's Castle is a really wonderful opera written by Béla Bartók. And he actually took his story inspiration from a classic fairy tale that's been told many times, originally by Charles Perrault, a French writer. And it saw Judith, the new wife, come home to the castle of Bluebeard. And there are 7 locked doors that she sees. And Bluebeard says to her, "Under no circumstances must you look behind any of these doors." My question to this opera was really, who is Judith in this? Because she can often seem kind of young, virginal, another heroine to the slaughter, as we see in many operas. And to me, as a female director, I wanted to see if there was a more interesting version of Judith to be interpreted.
The performances of Bluebeard's Castle here in Atlanta will be sung in English in a new translation that Daisy has done from the original Hungarian. And I have done a reduction of the enormous orchestra into a tight, virtuosic ensemble of just 7 musicians, which will be performed from members of the Atlanta Opera Orchestra. This will be a very intimate, close-up, personal experience for our audiences, and you'll be able to see this piece in a completely new way. So Daisy and I had the opportunity to put a version of Bluebeard's Castle on together a couple of summers ago in a beautiful medieval castle in Tuscany called Castello di Potentino.
We had a really lovely summer there. We took 2 singers, and in the heat of the sun, we just went through Bluebeard's Castle with them and performed it in a courtyard, and there was no staging as such. It wasn't immersive or round the castle. We just had the castle as our backdrop, and I guess we did interpret it quite traditionally in that sense.
It was just with the piano. It was just me on the piano in the corner of the courtyard and our 2 singers, and there was a beautiful well in the middle, and we used that, I remember. And the chairs, people just sat on chairs wherever they liked and just listened and watched this show. And it's quite, I just remember this one extraordinary moment in the libretto when Bluebeard says, "Close the doors behind me." And the castle had these enormous medieval gates, and we had the sort of stage management team slamming them shut. And there was this moment when all the audience suddenly went, we're locked in
with Bluebeard and the 7 locked doors.
Really perfect.
But what it did provide us with was a real understanding of the piece. And it was the first opportunity to really look what we had in front of us and see what the issues that we wanted to confront were. And I think the most stark one was, there's this amazing passage towards the end when Bluebeard has his 3 wives in front of him, and Judith's asking who they are, what are they, what are these women standing in front of me? And he says, "They are my wives. And this first wife is the wife of my morning. This wife is the wife of my midday. This wife is the wife of my sunset, and you, Judith, are the wife of my nighttime, my evening."
And what's interesting at that moment, which is quite a horrible moment in the piece if you interpret it in a traditional way, you know, if you imagine if you just turned up with your new husband and he introduces all his ex-wives dead in a cellar and sort of sings about them so lovingly, and the music is very consonant, it's very beautiful, it's very emotionally heartfelt, isn't it? And that was the big sticking point for us, is how can this moment in this story, which is so horrible, why did Bartók give such ravishingly beautiful music to it? And it was doing our heads in, wasn't it, Daisy? We kept thinking, we've got to find something here. There's got to be a reason for this. Exactly. So there was one moment during the rehearsal period when we were having these thoughts, and somebody told us that down the road was an amazing restaurant that grated truffles over absolutely everything. Truffle pasta, truffle this, truffle that, truffle that. And we thought, well, we're in Tuscany, we've got to go and try that. So we went for lunch, me and Daisy, and got all these truffles literally they were. I've never seen so many truffles in my life, and we were sort of eating these truffles and talking about the show, and we had one of those complete light bulb moments, didn't we? Do you remember it?
Yeah, we were talking about the significance of that cycle, the kind of day cycle, yeah,
dawn,
time cycle.
Midday, noon, yeah,
yeah, what is it? Is it a year? Is it seasons? And then we thought, well, what if it was a life? What if that was Bluebeard and Judith? And in fact, rather than other wives, it was her. And the morning was her youth and their youth. And then the midday was their middle age. Yeah. And then now
and they had children and they came, had a family, and that was the middle of their life. And then the children left home, and maybe and that was the early evening. And then we're here we are today at the end of the life.
So you arrive to the theatre, and on stage you see a representation of a suburban house, a really average, just what you'd expect to see at grandma's house, really, but seen through the lens of somebody perhaps living with a condition that's changed their perspective. So it's a little bit jumbled. You can see that there are lamps and chairs, but everything's just a bit off kilter, a bit unbalanced. And into that space, Bluebeard brings his wife, Judith. She's come home perhaps from a hospital visit. He's brought milk and biscuits and things that they'll need. And he brings her in and says, welcome to Bluebeard's castle. And she's unsure of where she is. She's not quite sure. She recognizes some things, but she also doesn't recognize others. So Bluebeard, as he begins to make the tea, he gently shows her around the space, and we see pictures, we see a chair, and we see a trunk that Bluebeard has put together for her. And as she opens the trunk, so the first door of Bluebeard's castle is opened, and she picks out a silk kimono, and a young woman enters the space. And so a memory comes alive of the youngest Judith. And in Bartok's version of the piece, this is the torture chamber. But here it's the feeling of their first night together, that the unsure kind of the torment and the tension that you have with a first lover, that you're not quite sure of yourself, and you're pushing yourself to maybe be somebody that you're not quite, because you're not quite sure of the person that you're with. So this is how we see the torture chamber, but ultimately it's the beginning of a long and happy marriage. But that you look back on those moments in your life and you think, oh, why was I so full of torment? And that is a form of torture to yourself. And so then Bluebeard encourages Judith to open the next door. And so she does, and she opens the chest again and pulls out a military jacket. And again, the same young woman enters the space, and Judith doesn't recognize her. And she's upset, and she takes this military jacket. And we realize that Bluebeard had to leave for work. And this was a very sad thing and a very upsetting thing for the two of them. But Bluebeard has to go and earn money for the family. He has to leave. And this is the armory in Bluebeard's castle. So here he's a military man, and she's putting on his coat, and we see the young Judith leaving Bluebeard. And then we move on, and she opens the chest again.
The third door, or the third memory, is the treasure chamber, full of glittering gold and jewels. And out of the chest comes a bridal veil, and it's the memory of their wedding together, walking down the aisle. We see a slightly older Judith coming onto stage in her wedding dress, and we see Bluebeard put the beautiful ring on her finger. And this is all about their wedding day and the specialness and the beauty and the glitteringness of that day. It's a really happy memory, and it's one that they both smile to recollect together. Also, the fourth door, the fourth memory, is the birth of their first child. In the original, it's the garden, and the garden is full of plants that need watering and nourishing. And we see the baby coming home, see Judith coming home from hospital with the baby in her arms, and we see the utter joy and wonder of parents, the new parents, have this baby has arrived in their lives.
The fifth door, which in the original Bartok is the view of his kingdom, here is Christmas morning. So we're now into our third memory, Judith. And as this huge door is opened, which is the most amazing crashing chord, two kids run onto stage with their Christmas stockings and their Christmas hats. And this is the memory that Bluebeard is most proud of. And he's so proud of his family. And it's cocoa and cookies on the morning of Christmas. But our Judith really can't recognize this memory, our singer Judith. This is the memory that she struggles most with, because the sixth door, as the Christmas joy fades away and the sixth door swings open, the Lake of Tears is funeral for the young boy. And we realize that a tragic accident took away the second child. And the Lake of Tears, in our interpretation, is a funeral. And Bluebeard himself doesn't engage at all in this memory. He stands to the side and allows Judith to walk through this still, sad, tragic moment in their shared history.
And then the climax of the piece is the seventh and final door, the seventh and final memory, in which all of the iterations of Judith, the young, middle life, older Judith, all come onto stage together and stand in front of current day singer Judith. And Bluebeard is hoping, amongst hope, that she finally recognizes exactly what all these people are. But in the Bartok, she doesn't. She gets jealous. She says, "Who are all these women? Are they more beautiful than me? Do you love them more than me? Are you having an affair with them?" Basically, is what she's saying. She's unable to see what Bluebeard can see, is that they're all versions of herself. And Bluebeard, with great sort of sadness, the memories disappear, the box is closed, and he realizes that she hasn't quite put all the pieces of the jigsaw together yet. And so he just goes on, finishes making his cup of tea, gives her a cup of tea, and we get the impression that maybe he'll try this all again next Friday.
I'm Daisy Evans.
And I'm Stephen Higgins.
And we thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Atlanta Opera podcast, Blink Opera. If you enjoyed learning more about Bluebeard's Castle, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcast. It's a great way for more people like you to find out about our content. And don't forget to follow the Atlanta Opera podcast for more great episodes.